WTAW News Time is 8:04. It's 60 degrees right now at the studios. We'll take a look at your full forecast coming up after the news, brought to you by Merry Maids. Call 979-595-1111 or go to merrymaids.com. Merry Maids, relax. It's done. Good morning. I'm Patrick Zeinert. College Station School District Superintendent Eddie Colson has announced his retirement.
Why now? Well, part of it is I can. And the bigger part is that there are other things that I would like to explore and do. And honestly, I don't know what all those things are right now, but there are other things that I think are out there that I would like to explore.
His last day is June 27th, completing 8 years as superintendent. School Board President Valerie Yokin has worked with Colson before she was elected 6 years ago.
Sometimes we agree and sometimes we don't, and that's been over the course of 17 years. But I think the thing that's been real important is that we both really respect each other, and I respect where he's put our district, and I'm very proud of what he's done.
The board will meet in executive session next Monday to begin discussing the district's future leadership. Over the opposition of at least 1,100 students, the A&M System Board of Regents has approved a new tuition and fee schedule. The Student Senate's finance chairman, Carrie Cheshire, drove to Galveston to tell the Regents of a lack of communication.
I attended the meeting on December 4th in the middle of dead week, right before finals, and I can tell you that there were only six students in attendance. You have three before you today, 150 miles away.
While university officials announced a 2% increase for undergraduates next year, amounting to an additional $89 a semester, opponents say the increase is more than $800 a semester for some students. The new schedule eliminates more than 7,200 instructional fees as recommended by prior audits. A Bryan man released from prison 4 years ago from a 1994 murder is back in jail. Bryan police reported on Wednesday night 37-year-old Richard Vasquez did not pull over after making turns into oncoming traffic. A chase ended near Milam Elementary School at Mockingbird and Palisoda. Officers found a 9mm handgun in Vasquez's pickup with the serial number scratched off. According to the arrest report, Vasquez said he had the gun because he feared retaliation related to the 20-year-old murder. A second arrest has been made in an armed robbery over a drug sale in College Station last week. 24-year-old Marcus Joshua of Bryan was picked up by Bryan police Wednesday afternoon during a traffic stop at Texas and Villa Maria. Joshua is accused of pulling out a handgun and taking back a quarter pound of marijuana, along with taking $160 from the buyer of the drugs. And according to the arrest report, investigators used Facebook to get the cell phone number of the first suspect, who was tracked down by monitoring his phone signal. More than 60 lawyers packed yesterday's meeting of the Brazos County Bar Association. The reason was to hear from three Republican candidates for 361st District Judge.
I know in family law cases, most of the emergencies happen at 4:30 on a Friday afternoon. Sometimes it's not easy to find your judge. I will be there. My courtroom won't be dark.
That's Margaret Meese, who says the most important thing is judges to be available. Michelle Esparza says she has relevant and practical private law experience.
And a great deal of tolerance and understanding to the challenges that affect all of us. The prosecutors, the defense bar, and the civil bar.
Incumbent Steve Smith says there's no more relevant experience than having done the job.
I've tried to be a judge that will listen to the facts, will apply the law as I understand the law to be, and make fair decisions.
Remarks from all three candidates are online at WTAW.com. A reminder that next Monday is the deadline to register to vote in the March 4th primary. Two Bryan families are displaced after a couple of house fires this week. Wednesday night, a kitchen fire burned through the roof of a duplex on Pecan Ridge near Boonville and Austin's Colony.
It started in the kitchen. It was determined that power had been left on to an electric skillet that was heating grease up. The tenant's story was that they did not realize that they had left it turned on. They had to return to the store for more products to cook with.
Bryan Deputy Fire Marshal William Bouse says this case emphasizes the need to make certain appliances are turned off when they're unattended. No one was home at the time of the fire. Bouse says 2 days before and a block away on Elliott Street, a chimney caught fire. A neighbor alerted the residents. Fire crews said flames and smoke weren't visible from inside the home. No further investigation is planned, but Bouse reminds residents to inspect and maintain chimney flues. WTAW News Time is 8:08. It's 60 degrees now. This look at news brought to you by Merry Maids. More news at 8:30 or anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Patrick Zeinert, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
Pontiacs. Want to know the best gift you can give that special lady in your life? It's a professional house cleaning from Marymaids, America's number one residential cleaning service and voted best of the Brazos for the last 6 years. Marymaids provides gift certificates to help your special lady celebrate her birthday, Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, or to help her get the house ready for weekend guests. Call Marymaids at 979-595-1111. Your entire house will be spotless and your lady will love it. Call Marymaids at 595-1111 and give her one less thing to worry about.
For more than 70 years, farmers and ranchers have depended on Producers Cooperative for quality agricultural products and services. From a full line of livestock feeds, planting seed and fertilizers, fuel and lubricants, farm and ranch equipment and supplies, you'll find it all at Producers. High performance products, quality service, outstanding results since 1943. Producers on Texas Avenue north of Highway 21 in Bryan, or call 979-778-6000. No membership necessary to purchase.
Brazos Valley Weather Forecast brought to you by Brazos Bounty. Somebody new moves to town, they're offered information on businesses. Get your business there first. Be an early bird. Go to BrazosBounty.com.
Considerable cloudiness this morning. The winds will try to pick up out of the south, high 65 to 70. Through the afternoon, there could be a few breaks of sunshine. It'll be partly to mostly cloudy tonight and near 60. Overnight, we may see a passing shower. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with the risk of a shower. High is going to be 70 to 75. Chance of a shower tomorrow night, 50. Scattered shower Sunday. Temperatures will fall through the 40s towards the 30s on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
It's 8:12. Jay Sokol here from the city of College Station. How are you today?
Doing very well. How are you?
All right. So you brought a guest.
I did. City manager Kelly Templin.
Yeah. Good morning, Kelly. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Wonderful. Now, you know, and I charged Jay with this. I said, now, if you're going to bring the city manager in, he needs to bring us nuggets of information that people just might not know so that the visit would be more compelling. Did you do that? Did you get him some information?
I did give him some information. It's about the most popular boy name and the most popular girl name in College Station for new babies in 2013.
All right, so now here, College Station City Manager Kelly Templin to announce the most popular male and female names.
I was hoping for a drum roll.
Oh, no, we can get a drum roll anyplace. This is what we do. Yeah. All right, so they are. What's the most popular boy's name of babies born in College Station?
And both of these take me by surprise, but the most popular boy name is Jason.
Oh, okay.
Right. And the most popular girl name is Emma.
Okay. Which is not the same as we have across Texas, right? It's Jacob and somebody else, right, according to the Houston Chronicle.
Sophie. Yeah? Or okay. Sophia, pardon me.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Well, at least it's not Muhammad. Okay. All right, now, Kelly, we've been laying this on all of our guests this week. Devastating news, as far as I'm concerned, and that was that we found out, despite their different colors, all Fruit Loops are the same flavor. Did you know that?
I was horrified when I heard that coming into town the other day. I was distraught. Jay will tell you I was not productive for half the morning.
I'm a little disappointed that you keep throwing this up to everybody. It's just a constant reminder. And
your
it's very,
childhood it's, was a lie.
It's very bothersome.
Okay, so which brings the question, what cereals did you eat growing up?
Well, my parents always had healthy choices, which I avoided like the plague.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, my favorite, Frosted Flakes. I mean,
see, now I think to a person now, Frosted Flakes is always part of the equation.
Not
the
only. No, that's good eating.
It is. It's not the only choice that they had. But okay, but if it was up to your folks, what were you eating?
Oh, God, Raisin Bran.
Yeah. I believe Rafael Pena had the exact same answers yesterday. Am I wrong? I think that's correct.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Mine was Wheat Chex. I had Wheat Chex, which are, I don't know, they're like furniture coasters. I mean, they're just, you got to soak them in milk. And just, you know,
for half an hour.
Exactly. And they're not, all right, so anyway, so we did that. We have no Jethro trivia today, unfortunately.
I studied half the night for Jethro trivia.
Well, it ended up being something that really wasn't very good. And so we are slaves to what the Jethro trivia people do. We try to make them up, and we're really awful at it. So we'll do that on another visit.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah, all right. So in the meantime, so welcome in. You know, here you are, a city manager in a city now where you really don't have to worry about hurricanes very much, do you?
Well, we have the peripheral effects of hurricanes. We have the refugees. I have to say, it's great to get away from the coast for that reason. I have some great friends down there, and it was a great education having lived and worked through Ike. But, yes, I'm very happy not to not to have to watch the weather radar every day between, you know, June 1st and November 1st. That's a relief.
Sure. Now, your learning curve has had to be steep somewhat, but so people understand, you've been here before.
I have. Yes, I have. This is, well, I came here as an undergraduate, came back as a graduate student, came to work here in 2002, and have come back in 2013, November. So haven't been with the city long, and as you say, steep learning curve, but I'm having a lot of help.
Yeah. Now, and another thing that probably works out nicely is actually when you were out of this and in the consulting business, Brian was one of the people, one of the customers who you dealt with.
Indeed. I actually live just over the line in Bryan, and my wife is a photographer, had her studio in downtown Bryan, have great love for Bryan, have great friends there. So I probably shouldn't admit it publicly, but Keene Register is a good friend of mine, as is Mayor Bayansky. So, yeah, I think we're doing a lot of great things together, and I think that prior relationship of mine is helping.
Well, obviously, groundbreaking agreement between the cities before you got here that allowed the Health Science Center, the Biomedical Corridor, to become what it is. I have to believe that's a template that's going to be reproduced all over America in situations where it exists. What does that do to lay a groundwork, in your view, as to areas where these cities may be coming together in things that we hadn't thought about since their conception?
Well, I think the template that you spoke of on the BioCorridor and the Health Science Center Parkway, the revenue sharing, that's going to be a template that's going to be duplicated here locally, I assume, with Bryan, Brazos County, Texas A&M. So looking forward to further cooperation with Bryan. We have monthly meetings with the university and my counterparts in Bryan, and I think there's going to be a lot more cooperation. Our fates are intricately tied together, and it just doesn't make any sense not to meet, cooperate, and work together in every way that we can.
Kelly Templin, the new city manager in City of College Station here. You spoke to the Economic Outlook Conference last week. I'd like to get your thoughts and the feedback that you received from that.
It's exciting and daunting at the same time. We are on a very steep growth trajectory here. We're going to be at 125,000 probably before we know it, and could at 150,000, depending on how steep that growth curve is. So that's exciting because with that growth will come a lot of quality of life issues. Vendors, retailers that had not looked at us previously will begin to come here. But at the same time, when Jay and I, the rest of the staff, look at those kinds of trajectories, we have to think about infrastructure, impacts, traffic, mobility, utilities, all of those sorts of things. That's my job, to try to counter some of the effects, ill effects of some of that growth, but also to be prepared for it.
Well, I have to ask you kind of to defend something that happened before you got here. Northgate looks to me like chaos and cars over there. The two complexes that are there right now, the density of traffic, the lack of parking. I mean, this is a situation that I don't think a College Station of 10 years ago would have let happen without some sort of a traffic impact study, and there was really no serious traffic impact study as to this thing that's going to have 2,000 kids basically in a square block.
Well, that's interesting. At the Outlook Conference, I had photographs that I believe were taken in the mid or late 90s in Northgate, and that was the Northgate that I showed up and saw and in the early 80s and then again in grad school. The changes there have been remarkable. I'm not sure that anybody could have reasonably predicted the densities that were going to be there. I will tell you this, we've spent a lot of time, energy, and money looking at traffic on University Drive. We're cooperating with the university in that regard, but the best traffic planning is thrown a bit of a, I don't know, curveball when you look at the, as you say, thousands of pedestrians that are going to cross University Drive. So we are looking at that now. That's going to be ongoing, and it's a great concern of ours. But the interest in Northgate continues, and I believe will continue. So we're going to have to look long-term at that traffic impact and deal with it in ways we hadn't probably considered, as you say, 5-10 years ago. So we're going to have to get out of the box on that one.
Now, there was a time when there was an individual in the development office, if you will, for the city of College Station. David Neely, as city manager, really chose to take that on because he felt very strong in that. Tell me how you, Kelly Templin, feel about being the point person as far as development in city of College Station, or are you going to turn that over to somebody?
You're speaking of economic development.
Right.
That's a great favorite of mine. I love doing that. That's a very exciting part of city management. So I'm going to be very hands-on in that regard. But because of the type, level, and just volume of parties that are looking at College Station right now, That's something we're going to have to expand. This is, we had our retreat with the city council Monday and Tuesday. We talked about staffing up that function. And so I'm going to be careful about that and methodical about that, but I believe we're going to staff that function up. I need a little help in that regard. I have a terrific young man on staff, Randall High, but he's not going to be able to handle all of that on his own. So over time, we're going to staff that function up. Doing a good job of it now, we're going to do a better job of it soon.
When it comes to that development, it's obvious that the area that is adjacent to Northgate, Brian has upgraded there. They're trying to get a look that's somewhat similar. Have you been in direct talks with anybody on the College Station side, been in direct talks with Brian as far as making that as seamless a physical transition as possible?
That's one of a number of areas that we continue a conversation with Brian on so that they can deal with those impacts and that their improvements are going to match ours. So we continue that conversation with TxDOT, with Brian, again with the university. So we're helping each other out in that regard, and I believe that's only going to, those communications are going to improve and continue into the future.
Kelly Templin, the city manager of College Station, joining us this morning, his first visit with us in the morning show. Is your administrative tree set up the way that you want to right now?
Yes, I believe it is. I was just having a conversation about that last night with a gentleman I hadn't seen in a number of years, and he was complimenting the folks that I had I guess promoted, but before those promotions, I was even more hands-on, and you know, I left the office pretty late there for a while. When I as a matter of fact, the day I made the promotions, it dawned on me that I didn't have to be that hands-on in all those functions. So it's been a great relief to me. College Station has some very intelligent, dedicated people. I think they're in the right places now, and so I'm very, very happy with the. With the organizational situation I have now. But again, as time goes on, we'll probably tweak that a little bit, fine-tune it. But I believe we're in a very good position right now.
Those upper five or six positions, that's where you want to be then.
Exactly.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about one of the areas that I think College Station is possibly falling behind, and that is the sophistication of the utility system.
Yes.
By comparison to what Brian does, and folks may not know this, if you go to activate your electricity in Brian, you basically use a remote control from your television.
Yes.
With their smart meters. You don't have that in College Station.
That's correct.
You can't do it overnight. It's expensive, there's no doubt. But tell me Kelly Templin's idea as to where the utility department needs to be.
Interesting that you bring that up, because that was a topic of a conversation at the retreat. And we've had a couple of conversations just since Tuesday about smart meters and where we're going with that. The technology on that is always improving. I think we didn't want to dive in with the first wave of technology, but that's something we are looking at very, very closely, and something that we want to get on board with very quickly. Again, the technology is improving like every other technology, you know, year by year. And we always want to make it easier, especially with the number of utility connects we have here with our transient population. We need to make it easy on ourselves and easy on our service technicians and what have you. So that is something we're looking at and want to adopt very quickly.
What were some of the other major takeaways from your retreat?
Actually, probably the biggest takeaway was, and again, this is my thoughts on it, was really that the council was not wanting to make major shifts in policy. They were very interested in my direction on budget formulation. But it was sort of, we went through the strategic plan in great detail, and there were no great changes in the current course. I think they're happy with, generally, with the direction of the city. There were a few things they wanted to fine-tune, but no major course changes there. We talked a lot about economic development. We talked about what was needed in that regard. And I honestly believe the council and I are sort of philosophically aligned on the direction of the city. So that's really my major takeaway, that there were no major shifts in policy. And it was interesting to sit there for a day and a half, listen to the council, watch them interact, and to really have a prolonged conversation. It was educational for me.
One of the things that that obviously is a concern is streets, roads. Now, new
absolutely.
Development, developers have a say-so in that, but you know, you are next to a city that is one of two that has a transportation fee, in fact. You obviously do what your council directs you, but what are your thoughts on having some sort of a transportation fee in College Station?
There was That was touched upon briefly. There was no direction to adopt any additional fees of any kind. But I think as we look at that growth trajectory, we look at infrastructure needs, particularly our mobility system. I have great friends at TTI, an old graduate school classmate of mine, that developed an algorithm that showed the return on investment for every dollar put into mobility. And in the state of Texas, it actually pays a dividend. So if we can, you know, transfer that to College Station, if we can maintain or even increase our mobility here, I believe it'll pay dividends. So it may behoove us to look at continued investment in mobility. We did talk about, in our next bond issue, doing something of a package of mobility improvements. I'm commuting in from Welburn every morning. So, and that's been very valuable for me, to sit through cycles of lights, to sit in that traffic. So it's not an abstraction. It's not something somebody's telling me about. I've lived it. And we need to address that. We absolutely need to address that. Those impacts will continue as we grow. And if we ignore it too long, it'll be very, very difficult to catch up. So that's something we're very aware of and want to attack and address very quickly.
So people will understand, I guess this is the last, maybe the last retreat you have before you officially have over 100,000 residents. There's some new things that kick in at that point.
Yes, you're correct. We may be at 100,000. Our December 2013 estimate put us at just under 100,000 population, and being at 100,000 will put us at a different level of awareness for federal grants and state assistance and what have you. So, but what's really interesting is looking at our growth trajectory and looking at how quickly we could possibly at 125 or even 150,000. So we need to be ready for those impacts, and we've got a plan for that now.
The Welburn experience, which again, if you're out there, you get to see it more often than yes. Probably a lot of people who are on city council. What were the next areas where we're going to see College Station maybe spread its wings a little bit?
Difficult to say, but again, looking at that growth trajectory, housing development, I would assume a lot of those impacts are going to come in the south, which again is going to stress our transportation system. So we have to look at capital improvements in that area. We're already talking about Fire Station 7, which would be in proximity to Greensbury Elementary and would serve that area, provide better service times for fire and EMS. So we're having to extend every bit of our infrastructure and service levels to the south, and I predict we're going to continue to see those impacts develop in the south.
Anything else of interest we didn't cover today to you?
There's so much going on in College Station, best and worst part of my job is I never know what I'm going to do in the course of a day. So I've got some very interesting meetings today. I hope to come back with you shortly and be able to tell you the results of those, but I've got an exciting day in front of me. Fridays typically are my busiest days, it's been great being back. Every day I learn more about the city, and I'm enjoying it more and more every day. So have me back, and I'll give you some good news.
All right, we'll look forward to that. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you.
You bet. That's Kelly Templin, the city manager of the City of College Station. Anything else?
A quick reminder that today is the deadline to register for both adult softball and adult kickball, fastest growing sport between University Drive and Rock Prairie Road.
Yeah.
So visit cstx.gov.
God, it's the last day?
This is it.
I don't have time. Well, I'm not a resident of College Station, never mind.
Put together a team. Just put together a team and spread out the cost.
Can I design the T-shirts?
Sure you can.
All right.
Do it. Go to cstx.gov/sports.
All right. Jay Sokol from the City of College Station. Visit with those folks on Friday. Our community segment is brought to you by Van Dyke Rankin Insurance Company, serving your insurance needs since 1936 with honesty and integrity.
Haven't heard from your insurance agent in a while? Don't know who to contact to get answers to your questions about coverage? At Van Dyke Rankin, they realize there are a lot of unanswered questions you might have with your current coverage, particularly health care coverage. Look them up. They'll calm your fears and make sure you know what you have and with whom. Van Dyke Rankin Insurance Company. Honesty, integrity, doing it right. Serving the greater Brazos Valley area and beyond since 1936. That's VanDykeRankin.com.
A mixed bag on the economic calendar. This is the Dow Jones Money Report. I'm Mike Weinstein.
The Commerce Department says that consumer spending rose 0.4% last month, and that was better than analysts had forecast, but personal income was flat when a slight gain was expected. The report on consumer sentiment set to be released after the start of trading a little bit later this morning. Global markets mostly lower overnight, the Nikkei losing about 0.5%. And NASDAQ futures, S&P 500 futures, both down 16. Shares of Under Armour soared 23% following its latest financial disclosure. Profits jumped 28% for the athletic apparel maker. And as we prepare to watch the big game this weekend, a new study reveals that fewer children are playing team sports nowadays. The data from youth leagues, school sports groups, and industry associations says participation in basketball, soccer, baseball, and football fell 4% between 2008 and 2012, sobering news that the country battles obesity within our youth. I'm Mike Weinstein with the Dow Jones Money Report.
Mom, I can't do my math homework. I just don't get it. I hate math.
I've always tried to be a good mother, but when it came to Jamie's math, I was at a loss. Then a friend told me about Math Made Easy DVDs. Concepts are simplified in an easy way to follow and review, and students can learn at their own pace in the convenience of home. Listen, in the frustration, call Math Made Easy. Call now, 1-800-USA-MATH. That's 1-800-872-6284. Or visit us at mathmadeeasy.com.
Hey, Bob, how's business? Is the new website helping?
Not good. I can't figure out how to get the website finished. How did you do it?
Easy. I called web.com. They built my website for free. Then they promoted it on all the search engines.
Like Google, Yahoo, and Bing?
Exactly. And web.com has helped grow my business so much, I had to bring on new staff.
Hey, if web.com did it for you, they're perfect for me.
Call now, 1-800-535-8815. That's 1-800-535-8815. Again, 1-800-535-8815.
The Dow Jones Money Report is brought to you by ABC Home and Commercial Services, specialists for your environment. Visit abchomeandcommercialservices.com.
The Aggie Report is next.
For 20 years, the Learfield Sports Directors Cup has been recognizing the nation's best overall collegiate athletic program in each division,
men's and women's sports.
Each year, this award has remained the crowning achievement in college athletics, honoring the extraordinary efforts of student athletes and their institutions. To follow your favorite team, like us on Facebook, find us in USA Today, on Twitter at LS Directors Cup, or online. Two decades of excellence, the Learfield Sports Directors Cup.
Member of the Aggie basketball team on the program today, it's Courtney Robertson, a forward, 6'9", 238. He is from Arcadia, Louisiana, one of the battlers on this team. Rule change this year makes it not as physical this season as has been in past seasons. Courtney Robertson on adjusting to that rule change.
It changed a lot because that's the way I like to play. I like to play physical and like bump a lot of people, but as the game's been going on, I'm getting a lot used to it and be able to like stay in the game longer and staying out of foul trouble.
What do you like most about the college basketball and about college life? What are some things where you feel like that's made you a better person?
Probably just being alone, just being away from the family, and just growing up on my own, and just being around like all the guys that's here today, just being able to call any one of them and just call them as my brothers.
Texas A&M's forward, Courtney Robertson, the young man, a junior from Arcadia, Louisiana. Aggies will be on the road this Saturday. They'll play at Florida. The broadcast on this radio station will start at 2:30. That's your Aggie Report. I'm Dave South.
If you or your loved one is considered homebound under the care of a physician and needs assistance with either skilled nursing or therapy service, call Thrive Home Healthcare. Aggie-owned and operated, Thrive Home Healthcare provides an excellent, cost-effective medical care alternative for patients and their families. Thrive serves the 9-county area, including offices in Brenham, Belleville, Burton, and Hempstead, and has on-call nursing staff available 24 hours a day. Thrive Home Healthcare, helping others thrive. Call 846-1213 for qualifications and more information.
WTAW News Time is 8:33. It's 60 degrees right now at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news. Good morning. I'm Patrick Ziner. 8 years as superintendent of the College Station School District is the most time Eddie Colson has spent in any one position. After a total of 17 years with CSISD, Colson has announced his last day is June 27th.
We look forward to staying in the community and really just kind of turning the next page in the chapter or in our book and go to the next chapter in our lives.
School Board President Valerie Yokin says they were informed last week.
For a personal standpoint, you hope that Eddie and Sally find something that really incites them and excites them, because we all want that as we go forward in our lives. You know, on the professional level, it's okay. Now our job just got a little bit harder. But I think change is hard, but change can also be good.
The process of selecting Colson's successor starts next Monday when the board meets in executive session. Tuition is going up next year at Texas A&M. How much is a point of contention? The Board of Regents meeting in Galveston approved a guaranteed tuition and fee rate plan yesterday. Three students spoke at the public hearing. Austin Luce of Corpus Christi said after working the last two semesters, he's back in school. He called for letting students decide whether to opt in to the guaranteed rate plan. Regent Jim Schwertner says that can't be done.
We're just trying to figure out how to have enough money in the bank to run the operation. So how would you do that? How do you know how to specifically calculate that number in your mind?
Predictability.
I'm not sure. I'm not a finance major and political science major, so I'm not sure exactly how the money gets counted.
Well, that's our problem. And I'm in the banking business, and I know a little bit about money, but I don't know how to do this. It's either going to be one or the other.
University staff says that amounts to a 2% increase for undergraduates or an additional $89 a semester. The Aggie Conservative Student Group sent an email stating the increase for some students would be more than $800 a semester. They were unsuccessful in getting the Regents to postpone a decision until their May meeting in College Station. Two house fires within a few blocks of each other took place this week in Bryan. Deputy Fire Marshal William Bowes says on Monday a neighbor noticed a chimney on fire. That alerted residents inside of the duplex on Elliott Street north of Boonville Cemetery. Fire crews said smoke and flames weren't visible to the residents inside. Bow says the fire has been ruled accidental, but serves as a reminder to inspect your chimney flues. Then Wednesday on Pecan Ridge, an unattended electric skillet is blamed for a kitchen fire that burned through a roof of the duplex. Bow says residents had left to purchase more food.
This only goes back to emphasize why we talk so much about unattended cooking fires, because things change very rapidly, so it's always just crucially important to make very certain that nothing is turned on in the kitchen if you're not there to watch it.
Bowes says the adjacent unit also received some damage. The Brazos County District Attorney's Office has announced plea agreements in three criminal cases. A College Station man who was beat up while in county jail last September is headed to prison for 8 years. 21-year-old Devontae Shepard admitted to a residential burglary last August. College Station police believe he was involved in as many as a dozen break-ins last year. 44-year-old Michael Thomas of Bryan was convicted of making a bomb threat last year at A&M. A former university landscaper, Thomas wrote the phrase "bomb at Kyle" on a bathroom wall in the Hagler building. Prosecutors dropped a charge related to a similar threat made 2 days later at the A&M Alumni Center. Thomas was sentenced to 2 years in prison. The punishment also covers a guilty plea to using a credit card he had stolen from a coworker at A&M. And it's been 16 months since an armed robbery at a Papa John's on Highway 21 and Texas in North Bryan. 31-year-old Barry Williams of Bryan entered a guilty plea to the holdup, two residential burglaries, and four other crimes. Williams was sentenced to a total of 45 years. He must serve 22 and a half years before becoming eligible for parole. It'll be his second prison term following a 2002 conviction for child molestation. The trio of Republican candidates running for Brazos County Judge in the 361st District spoke at yesterday's Bar Association meeting.
We have duties with the probation department. We have duties with the juvenile probation department. We have duties with the auditor's office. One of the things I've been really proud of is that almost every year I have returned money to the county out of my budget.
That's incumbent Steve Smith. He talked about administrative duties outside of the courtroom. Michelle Esparza wanted to focus on her experience with civil cases.
But I want to assure you that my 23 years of private practice, and it's all recent and relevant, have ensured that I am very, very knowledgeable about what you do and the challenges you face.
Margaret Meese told lawyers she'll treat them with respect and courtesy.
There's no reason that you have to prep your client with, this is the way the judge may behave, or this is what may happen to you. You should never be embarrassed in front of your client.
Online at WTAW.com are remarks from all three candidates. And if you haven't registered to vote in the March 4th primary, the deadline is next Monday. WTAW news time is 8:38. It's 60 degrees. More news at noon or anytime on our website, WTAW.com. I'm Patrick Zeiner at News Talk 1620 WTAW.
Hey, Brazos Valley, it's Pete Laird with Harvey Warspangers.
2013 broke all the records since our opening in February 1998. And with the incredible response to our new patio, 2014 promises to be even bigger. You might not know that we were one of 10 similar facilities in the world featured online last month by Bon Appetit. This month brought similar accolades from Travel and Leisure Online. These two premier publications join the ever-growing recognition of our unique business that already included CNBC, USA Today, and the San Antonio Express News, just to name a few. So if you haven't been in, don't let the world pass you by. Come on by and see what everybody's talking about. This is a great month to do so since Michael's specialty burger this month is our Hatch Green Chili and Goat Cheese Burger. Roasted and diced Hatch Green Chilies, folded in creamy goat cheese, stuffed in a perfectly cooked half-pound patty. Served on a warm grill sourdough bun with a side of fresh-cut fries. Trust me, you don't want to miss out on this one. Harvey Washbangers, 1802 Texas Avenue, just south of Harvey Road and College Station. Home of the Banger Burger, the Brazos Valley's original and still best gourmet burger.
Ready to make the commitment to be healthier, to be stronger, to feel better? Then here's the number to call, 693-6100. That's Super Slow Zone. You know the slogan, minutes a week, in shape for life. And that's exactly what it's all about. You stop in, try the machines out. They have some new machines as they've changed their location. They're still right there on Rock Prairie Road in the medical complex by the Med, but they're now in the West Side building right there on the first floor. But they're pieces of equipment they haven't had before. And as a result, you go in, you try the equipment out, you find what you're looking for in exercise. Then they take a brief medical history, and you're on your way. 693-6100. You're on your way to a healthier you so that you can feel better every day. You go in and you work out a couple of times a week. After a while, it shifts down to one time a week. But what you always get is attention, one-on-one work. That's what makes Super Slow Zone different. Minutes a week in shape for life. Call them at 693-6100, Super Slow Zone.
For the very best in swimming pool maintenance, service, and repair, call the Pool Guy. The Pool Guy's also the service center and warranty provider for all major equipment manufacturers. The Pool Guy not only services what he sells, he'll even service what his competitors sell. The Pool Guy will make sure you and your family have a hassle-free swimming pool that's clean and safe to use all summer long. Call the Pool Guy, 575-6200, 575-6200. Official corporate sponsor of Texas A&M Athletics, the Pool Guy.
841, I'm finally getting a chance to talk to you about Peach Creek Vineyards on a weekend when the weather's going to be nice. I hate to talk about it when the weather's not going to be nice, because going out there and sitting outside is one of the best things that you have there at Peach Creek Vineyards, in addition to the wine. And this weekend, it's going to be nice. The temperature's going to be great. What an opportunity for you to stop in. Now, they're open Saturday from noon to 6 and Sunday from 1 to 5, and they're open at other times. If you'll just get in touch with them ahead of time and see if you can come out and do whatever you want to do out there, because you can bring your own snacks or you can buy s'mores packages and sit around the fire pit and enjoy the quiet south of College Station at Peach Creek Vineyards, and of course their wines as well. There are a dozen wines for you to choose from, and there'll be more coming soon, and it could be the Red Rooster, which is kind of a soft and spicy. Got to try that the last time I was out there. Bodacious, which is what they call their Cabernet blend. They also have some dry wines and some off-dry wines, and even a Muscat that has a little bit of effervescence. It's called Dancing Stars. So the full palette of wines, and you can find those at Peach Creek Vineyards. Plus, inside, they have chocolates. They have lots of kind of wine-centric gifts as well. Go to peachcreekvineyards.com, peachcreekvineyards.com. Learn more about it. And, of course, you can look for Peach Creek Vineyards on Facebook as well. But this would be a nice weekend for you to go out and find that little secret in South College Station. It's Peach Creek Vineyards. Our Brazos Valley weather forecast, it's brought to you this morning by Anchor Foundation Repair. Fix your foundation the right way with the Brazos Valley's leaders in foundation repair for over 28 years. Go to anchorfoundationrepair.net.
Cloudiness covers the region this morning. We'll look for it to become a little breezy out of the south later today, and that could lead to some breaks of sunshine. Highs today 65 to 70. There'll be lots of clouds around tonight. There may even be a shower. Lows tonight near 60. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy. The chance for a shower 70. Clouds and maybe a shower tomorrow night, a low of 50. Scattered showers are likely Sunday. Highs will be in the 40s. Temperatures will fall, though, during the day. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk 1620 WTAW.
We've got so many things to do. I mean, for us to cover, I feel like it'll be a disservice if we don't discuss all of this, because we've got the big football game coming up on Sunday.
Correct.
But of which you were right about the card pits.
Thank you. Think I make this stuff up.
Yeah, actually, we do.
Yeah, well, I did. Anyway, don't know anything else about them. I wonder if their helmet had, like, card on one side and pit on the other, but probably
not. Well, there's nothing on the Pittsburgh helmet on one side anyway.
Yeah, that's right, except in United States Steel may not have, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. Anyway, so we've got that, but we've got Groundhog Day. I mean, Groundhog Day is going to go by almost unnoticed because it's on Sunday, and we won't have a chance to really celebrate that because, after all, talk about a ripoff. I mean, it's Groundhog Day.
Well, it's Groundhog Day.
Thank you.
Again?
One more time. Interesting movie.
So, oh, I like that movie.
It was. Yeah, it was great. So, well, it's Bill Murray. I was going to say what's not to like, but if you've seen Lost in Translation, which I still don't understand. Anyhow, so it's Sunday. And so you can do that. And, of course, grab I Got You, Babe by Sonny and Cher and play that.
Over and over and over.
Over and over and over and over and over and over again. Scientific studies over a 60-year period show that the groundhog's accuracy in forecasting the onset of spring, 28%.
So the groundhog stinks on ice.
National Weather Service, 31%. So it ain't that different.
Well, but what if they just flip the assumption, the base assumption? Wouldn't it be 72% then?
Now, you know, that's an excellent idea right
Maybe
there.
They're just looking for the wrong thing.
Do you?
they're interpreting the reverse.
Once again, this is kind of like the bipolar vortex. This is a genuine nugget right
here.
Yeah,
what does the Texas prairie dog say?
Just thinking.
What does the Texas prairie dog say?
Yeah. No, it's not what the fox say.
Yeah, that's right. A groundhog is the same thing as a woodchuck, by the way. It is the largest member of the squirrel family and is sometimes called a whistle pig.
Not anybody I've ever known.
The name whistle pig comes from the fact that when they are alarmed, a groundhog will emit this high-pitched whistle as a warning to the rest of the gang. Okay? And while we're talking about that, the name woodchuck, taken from the Algonquin name for those critters, which was Woochuck. Woochuck. They changed that. Groundhogs actually are true hibernators, which means that they enter the burrow in the late fall and they fall asleep. They remove up to about 700 pounds of dirt from the ground to be able to burrow into this thing. Lots of entrances, and sometimes they're as long as 45 feet.
Really?
Yep. Groundhogs live alone. In the late spring, females have a litter of up to 6 babies, and they stay with their mom for several months.
Do they taste good?
I don't know. Groundhogs do not drink water.
Really?
Yep, they do not drink water. It's the only
get
way
it all from roots.
Yeah, otherwise they'd have to put on their groundhog slippers and pad out to the bathroom while they're hibernating, and
as
a result, I'll wake up, yawn, stretch, put on the bunny slippers, and go to the bathroom and. Oh, let me see. I've been asleep for a month. It's time to go to the
Bill,
bathroom.
I told you how those fur slippers make me feel.
That's exactly right. So there you go. That's our groundhog fact. So now we've gotten that taken care of.
Well, on Sunday, of course, it's the Super Bowl.
Oh, I heard about that.
And Red Bryant,
yeah,
fighting Texas Aggie, was explaining to the media during Media Day what the 12th man was.
Oh!
You know how much I love Seattle. Seattle's been great for me and my family, and it's been great for my in-laws. But the 12th man is in College Station, Texas. And the world, hopefully the world knows it, but if they don't, they know now.
Wow! Whoop. Well, and
I imagine that went over like a lead balloon in Seattle, though.
But that's the guy who has to do that.
Absolutely.
And I hope he has a great game. I mean, I'm not any doubt about that. But there are two other Aggies on there. Michael Bennett, I know, is one. Mm-hmm. And Michael and Red play in the same position. So anyhow, well, I appreciate him doing that.
Me too. I loved it when I heard it.
All right. Now, we've heard this, and I don't know if it's right. 2/3 of all avocados sold in the United States or bought within the 3 weeks prior to the Super Bowl.
If advertising is any indication, it is, because the advertising council for the avocado is going bat crazy.
Right. But it's hooey, okay?
Is it really?
It is. Super Bowl Sunday accounts for about 5% of the annual avocado sales.
That just has to make sense.
Yeah, yeah. According to the Avocado Commission. Now, they want people to buy them. I mean, there's no reason to not push it, right?
Sure.
No reason not to push it. So
you're talking about 5% for one day.
Yeah.
So that's still pretty big.
Now, here's what you get, okay? Cinco de Mayo, much bigger. Much bigger.
Okay.
Okay. 49.5 million pounds of avocados, or 9%, consumed this year.
That's a lot of green gook.
It is. Well, a matter of fact, it's this much green gook. That would be a coating of guacamole 11.8 feet deep from one end zone to the other.
Oh. Woo! Man, that's a lot of chips,
that's
baby.
A big piece of saran wrap to cover that one. Yeah.
You need snowshoes to run on that.
Yeah,
oh, just tell them. Now, another little secret. There's nothing worse, though, than when you let the guac kind of sit out a little while. Because it's got that, it gets kind of brown.
Well, you put lime juice on it.
A Windex.
Or you
lime
juice. So you don't put Windex on it.
You stick the pit back in there.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
No, you do.
Yeah, do you? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yes, and you can put lemon or lime juice on it, and that will keep it from happening. All right, which states purchase the most football food? Football food would be, for instance, in Louisiana and Utah, they lead the way in sales of breaded and unbreaded chicken wings. Again, this has got to be per capita, okay? Nebraska and South Dakota lead the pack when it comes to frozen pizzas.
I like frozen pizza.
Oh, they're fine, but you're celebrating with them?
Yeah, good point.
Well, no, not for that. I mean, just random snack, though. So there's nothing better than
a good pizza. If you're driving home and it's late, you're going to stop for frozen pizza in a box?
Oh, don't judge me.
Hold on, now this is what you do.
Okay?
Is this in general, not just on Super Bowl Sunday?
Yeah. It says which states purchase the most football food. Yeah,
I guess that's
probably right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm fine with the dollar Tony's or Totino's or whatever. I agree. They're pretty tasty.
Don't make me bring out the Hot Pockets, okay? Don't make me bring Gaffigan out on the Hot Pockets.
There's a thing on Hot Pockets online, as a matter of fact. There's a big rhubarb about that.
What?
There's a guy that was eating Hot Pockets with his kid, and the kid tore open the middle of it, and it was full of mold. So they opened up two or three others, and they were all like that.
Didn't hear about that.
I wished I hadn't.
Well, not that I'm going to buy them anymore anyhow, or ever did. South Dakota and Indiana are the superstars when it comes to snack mixes, those crunchy things. North Dakota and South Dakota, mixed nuts. New Mexico and Virginia prevail when it comes to potato chips. And Kentucky and Louisiana for your dips. How are you eating chips without dip? Well, now you can do that, sure. Sandwiches and things like that. All right, so there you go. Those are your football food states. It's 10 till.
Hi, this is Debbie with American Lube Centers. Have you seen my guys lately? Is your car missing the TLC from ALC? Stop on by any one of our four locations of American Lube Centers so we can make your vehicle safe for your in-town and out-of-town travels. Fast, friendly service before you need us. And remember, American Lube Center Tower Point has full-service hand car wash and detail center. Thanks for voting us best of the Brazos Valley for the last 4 years. American Lube Centers, taking care of your vehicles so you don't have to.
Hi, this is Levi Douglas, and it's time to get to Douglas Nissan. It's Altima month, so check out our selection of 2013 Nissan Altima 3.5 sedans and get $4,000 off MSRP and 0% APR for 60 months. And the all-new 2014 Rogue is here. The crossover has a sleek new design and best-in-class 33 miles per gallon on the highway. Come see why we're home of the nice guys at Douglas Nissan off Highway 6 and College Station.
Altima offer includes 1,000 Nissan captive cash and 3,000 dealer discount plus finance within MAC for 0% APR through to choose from all supplies last.
Plan your wedding in a day at the 2014 Spring Bridal Show and Benefits Sunday, February 9th at the Brazos County Expo Complex. Visit over 100 booths with local wedding professionals offering everything you'll need to plan your perfect day. Tickets are $20 at the door or $15 in advance online at babv.org. Purchase your tickets today and double your odds of winning the $1,000 wedding shopping spree. Proceeds benefit the Pink Alliance, so log on now to BABV.org. And we'll see you Sunday, February 9th at the Bridal Show. That's BABV.org.
Why do you buy from Team Auto?
I'm Dr. David Dudica. I've been buying my vehicles from Mike for the last 5 years. He's been real honest and straightforward. As a matter of fact, all my kids even buy their vehicles from him now. So I'd recommend him for all your vehicle needs.
With a lineup of 8 domestic product lines, Team Auto is unlike any other car buying experience.
With this kind of selection, there's no reason not to join our team. Only 11.7 miles south of high prices.
Team Auto, where relationships matter.
Newstalk 1620 WTAW, just going through here looking for more esoterica. And again, I know there's somebody probably at the NFL office who gets paid to find this stuff out. Only one team has won Super Bowls on all the major networks.
Really? Well, that's random.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I guess I could give you the answer. Does it really matter that much? But anyway, it's the New York Giants. So Got that. So they've got prop bets out there on what color the Gatorade shower will be.
Yep.
Orange seems to be even money right now.
Well, that's what I would go with.
Clear and water are at 5-2, and green is at 15-1 if you want to go with something like that. Let's see what else. You know, and it's not really being held in New York. You know, it's East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Yep. Everything's going on in New York, but it's actually happening there.
And the thing is, you know, the people from New Jersey, that matters to them.
Sure it does.
Unless they were somewhere out in Montana and they said, you're from East Rutherford, New Jersey, where's that? They'd go, oh, it's right near New York. So, I mean, they would gladly embrace New York were it not for this. And again, they're, you know, I think they're probably doing just fine with all that. And what, now the weather's going to be okay, huh? 48 degrees during the day.
Yeah, they're quite a change.
Okay. Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper, what a great name for a governor.
That is a great name.
Announced this week that he's temporarily renaming 53 of Colorado's 14,000-foot peaks after the Super Bowl-bound Broncos. Although the peaks will hold their NFL roster titles only through Super Bowl Sunday, the naming process has provided some humorous correlations. Mount Massive will go for 340-pound Terrence Knighton, who's also called Pot Roast by his teammates.
What else would you call it?
Of course not. And Long's Peak will be reserved for their kicker, Matt Prater. That makes sense.
Sure. That's
good for them. Now, let's talk about what you really want to talk about, and that's the Puppy Bowl.
No, okay. You're wrong.
This year's Puppy Bowl will air 6 times over the course of 12 hours. Starting at 2 o'clock local time, with new content added for each airing. This year's telecast will feature 66 puppies, 30 untrained kittens, 5 penguins, 3 trained cats, 8 tailgate party dogs, 4
exactly
service
how,
dogs, and
how does
hamsters.
One train a cat?
That's a really good point. Not sure.
Come on.
You make it not look at you like that. Okay, just saying. Puppies are 12 to 21 weeks old. The first day of shooting was devoted entirely to kittens and cats.
Because they take longer.
Yes, that's right. They taped the show, they taped the show back in October, as a matter of fact. So had a chance to edit it and make it, precious, sweet, and adorable.
Hey, Dan, did you hear Obama took a pay cut?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he took a 5% pay cut because that's what other government workers were losing due to last year's sequester.
Well, you know that's peanuts for him, right? I mean, he gets paid a pretty hefty salary as president, but did you know that he also makes an additional $72,000 on average per month on the side?
Wait, President Obama collects money from something other than his job?
Crazy, right?
Where's all this extra cash coming from?
Well, last week I came across a website called secretincome14.com, which explained exactly where the money comes from. But the cool thing is, it also shows how guys like you and me can rake in thousands of dollars every month by taking advantage of essentially the same income secret Obama uses.
You mean there's a way I can do this for myself? Come on, that sounds too good to be true.
If you don't believe me, go to secretincome14.com and check out the story. It's totally free, and you don't have to sign up for anything.
What's that website again?
It's www.secretincome14.com.
In the community, covering the stories that impact your life.
Our promise, to provide up-to-the-minute information that impacts you.
The Brazos Valley is growing, and you need informative news.
And accurate weather that affects you and forecasts to help you.
Make a change and join us weeknights at 6 and 10.
KAGS HD News. Local people living here, working here. Weekend sports not enough? Watch Aggie Sports Overtime, Saturdays at 10 p.m. on KAGS HD. Join Luke Simons and Chris Vallejos every Saturday as they take you inside Aggie Sports. See this week's scores, player and coach interviews, and injury updates. Replay highlights from all your Aggie sports, from football, baseball, softball, men's and women's basketball, and more. Catch Aggie Sports Overtime, Saturdays at 10 p.m., only on KAGS HD.
Hey, Brazos Valley, it's Pete Laird with Harvey Warspangers. 2013 broke all the records since our opening in February 1998. And with the incredible response to our new patio, 2014 promises to be even bigger. You might not know that we were one of 10 similar facilities in the world featured online last month by Bon Appetit. This month brought similar accolades from Travel and Leisure Online. These two premier publications joined the ever-growing recognition of our unique business that already included CNBC, USA Today, and the San Antonio Express News, just to name a few. So if you haven't been in, don't let the world pass you by. Come on by and see what everybody's talking about. This is a great month to do so, since Michael's specialty burger this month is our Hatch Green Chili and Goat Cheeseburger. Roasted and diced Hatch Green Chilies, folded in creamy goat cheese, stuffed in a perfectly cooked half-pound patty, served on a warm grilled sourdough bun with a side of fresh-cut fries. Trust me, you don't want to miss out on this one. Harvey Washbangers, 1802 Texas Avenue, just south of Harvey Road and College Station. Home of the Banger Burger, the Brazos Valley's original and still best gourmet burger.
If you're a Seinfeld fan, good news. Looks like there definitely will be some sort of a Seinfeld reunion.
All right.
Jerry Seinfeld confirmed yesterday that he and Jason Alexander and other members of the Seinfeld cast have worked on a short-ish, as he called it, project, which will be out very, very soon. Those two were spotted at Tom's restaurant. That was the hangout in the show, triggering some speculation.
Well, I thought some of that was for a commercial.
Yeah, but apparently that wasn't. Anyhow, he wouldn't say anything else. Just that's what's happening right there. So we'll see. He also, though, did say